Okay, so as we start this afternoon time, we'll continue on listening to God. And listening to God is about how to be sensitive to what God says. For that, we have to recognize that our brains have two parts. One part which is analytical. We crunch numbers, we analyze situations, we synthesize information. It is like the computer side of the brain. You have another part of the brain which is learning by encounters, where emotions are key, where sensitivity to the other is important, empathy, relationship. These are two very different ways to learn. For instance, if I want to learn to know Emil, I can measure the size of his feet, study, write down his age. Or when I want to know Dalia, I can measure the length of her glasses and the precise color of your hair or the height. Do you think I can say I know Dalia well when I've done that? Of course not. The way to learn to know Dalia is to interact back and forth with Dalia. And when I'm able to have a healthy, fruitful, harmonious relationship with Dalia, where there is friendship, then I begin to say, I know Dalia and she knows me. You notice it goes two ways. I cannot say I know someone if the person does not know me. If I pretend I know someone and the person does not know me, I am just saying I've analyzed the person. It's not a relationship. In the Bible, you have two words for the two modes of knowledge. I mentioned it in Albania when I was in January. The first one is bin. Do we have a pen I could use? Sorry, Diana.
There was a blue one here.
Yes. We have two words. The first one is bin. It's in Hebrew for... Who has done some Hebrew? Jonathan, I know you did. Jonathan was one of the students of Hebrew when I was at MTS, so...
I know some Hebrew.
You did some Hebrew? Okay, so then you also... And those who know Arabic, it's not very different. You know some? Imre, you did the Hebrew?
Yeah.
Okay. A bit. You did also, Jay? So I will write, I check, so I write in Hebrew and English. So you have both writings.
She's coming.
So bin is the analytical knowledge. And I will mention a biblical verse for you to see how it plays out in the Bible. And the verb for relational knowledge is yada. Yada is the knowledge of relationship. Have you heard of this one?
Yes, sir. Let me put here.
TNT, you answered all my calls with all these pens. Thank you. We have a very interesting verse in Proverbs 3, verse 6 and 7. So the first word is bin. In English. It's analytical knowledge. The second word is yada. mistakes like that. Okay, on the verse where you find the two very clearly associated or distinguished is Proverbs 3, verses 6 to 7. So analytical knowledge is when some people say it's the left side of the brain. It's part of your brain which basically considers the world as an object. You don't discuss with an object. You measure it, you cut it into pieces. When you speak of a relationship with a person, you don't cut people in pieces. It's not a good idea for relationships. But the truth is, when we speak of God, sometimes we don't understand, we have to distinguish. In theology, sometimes the Greek mindset tends to and Greek has some good points, but when we speak of relational knowledge, they are not very good. They tend to be observers who try to find control and mastery on the practical world. And if you study God trying to master Him, it's not a good idea. In your theological studies, when you speak of analytical knowledge, you use words like God is omniscient, omnipotent. Have you noticed these words? They are defining God with attributes which are not relational, but absolute attributes. In the Bible, you don't find the same attributes. What you find in the Bible is, God is my shepherd. God is a rock. God is a fortress. He is the savior of my savior. He is my deliverer. Have you noticed the difference? They emphasize a practical relationship, how God helps me in a practical situation, how God gave me a protection. God is my rock, which means when you fight, you're on a rock, you're above your enemies, you are protected and able to win battles. When you're in a ditch and an enemy attacks you from above, it's not good. You don't have a verse saying, God is my ditch. It does not work. And you can see the difference, because this one, you're not in a relationship. You observe God as an object. The second one, you observe God, or you don't observe, you relate to God, a two-way relationship. The first one, you learn to control, to master. You master a subject, so you get a master of divinity or religion, whatever. The second one, there is no mastery. You learn to let God master you so that you have a relationship with Him. It's very different. In a couple, if I want to master my wife, do you think it's a good idea? Not a good idea. You know that men, sometimes we try to do that. Of course, we men, you never do that. You know how we try to change our spouses? Have you ever tried to do that?
No.
Never? Okay, I'm impressed. You need to train me on this one. The truth is, in relationships, both change. You cannot expect the other to change without you changing. So it's the relationship which evolves. It's no more me controlling the other. Let me read for you the verse 6 and 7 of Proverbs 3. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Yada. It's not 5, 6, 7, it's 5, 6. I apologize. Proverbs 3, verses 5, 6. So verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Understanding, yad abim. Do not lean on your own understanding. Which means in all your ways, put your trust in God. Don't try to control. When you say, how can I be sure it's God? You already know you are in trouble, my friend. Because if you want to know for sure, you want God to be your servant. I am sorry, this does not work this way with God. In you, trust in the Lord with all your ways and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In Hebrew, know Him. In all your ways, know Him, yada. Relational, which means in all your ways, walk with Him. Interact with God, speak with Him and listen to Him. In all you do.
This says submit to Him.
Okay, submit, it's not enough. Because submit is still unidirectional. Know Him, you have a two-way relationship, which is very important. Because if we submit, you still have the notion of law, which kind of gives you commandments you have to do, but it's not fun to have a law which does not speak back to you. It's much more helpful when you have a two-way communication. And so the verse 6, in all your ways, know Him, and He will make straight your path. What is very interesting is already the Greek translation, which was given, the Greek translation called the Septuagint, written between the 2nd century before Christ and the time of Christ, the translation of this text was in Greek, at least. The Greek translation of in all your ways know Him is make Him known. It's not the same. So the Greek was already struggling with this relational knowledge because it's not part of their cultural standard. It's out of their culture, this hard two-way language. So the Greek translation said, make Him known. So basically, in all your ways, evangelize, share about Jesus. That's not the same. That's not the same as interact with God. Do you see the difference? It's a big one. And so already at the time of Jesus, the Greek translation struggled to translate this relational language in Greek. And in modern terms, in Christianity, we are still struggling to help people understand the type of relationships God expects from us and invites us to. So that many texts in the New Testament go beyond our heads when it says, what I ask from you is to obey my commandments. When Jesus says that, how do you feel? Do you like obey my commandments? Oh, that's...
Depends.
Which ones? Exactly. So we see the controlling mind. I will decide which ones I agree with. Okay? It's not this confidence in a loving God on a two-way relationship. But Jesus' teaching for his disciples in John chapters 14 to 18, 17, it's very clearly relational. And he says, obey to all what I say. And he says at the same time, ask whatever you want, and it will be done to you. When you come to this text with a controlling mindset, with being, you say it does not work. You say, it's not possible. I cannot have God controlling me completely, and me controlling God completely. It does not work. But if it's a relationship, that I listen to God and do what He tells me, then I can understand that He does what I tell Him. And the mystery of having God following what we ask becomes reality. But we need first this transformation of the Spirit to realign us with the Spirit of God. To put us in an intimate relationship where His love of God flows in us through His Spirit. The love of God is poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit which has been given to us, Romans 5:5. Through this love, we respond to God, we walk with Him, And miracles become a common daily experience. Would you like that? That's what I want. That's what I pray for wherever we go, wherever you go. But for that, we need to learn to be in tune with God every day. We need to learn to have this heart-to-heart relationship with God every day. That's the subject of this afternoon. So, in order to move in this yada knowledge of God, we have to learn how we function. As humans, we have been created with 5-6 senses. The scientists today, we don't need to stop at 5 senses. You have proprioception, interoception. You have a bunch of senses. Go to Wikipedia if you want to have fun, because our body is created for communication, two-way communication. Some people like to say we have 2 ears on 1 mouth, which means we have been created to listen first. And speaking is important, but as we learn to receive guidance, and we don't even speak of the 2 eyes also, which means all our senses are created for interaction, either to receive information, but also our body is created to communicate through actions, through words, through many ways. So these interactions are very important. Each of your senses has a very interesting element also. Yes. So each of our senses has 2 facets. Let's speak of seeing. Your eyes have the capacity of seeing outside. Easy. Your brain takes pictures from the eyes and creates a picture inside your brain. When you close the eyes, have you noticed you can still see pictures? How come? How can you see pictures while there are no more pictures outside?
They are
pictures in the brain. So without external stimulus, there are still pictures coming inside. Some of them are a reminiscence, which means they are pictures that are memory from the outside. But that's not all. Some pictures are coming from places we have no idea. They are created inside the brain. We have to be aware that these pictures come from somewhere else. We don't always know where they come from. Do you believe God can put pictures in your mind? Can He put words in your head? Because we also hear our voice. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you, the hearing is the same. We hear words outside, but we also have voices inside our heads. All of us. Some people say, this one, they hear voices. Like if it's, this person is crazy. Each of you hear voices, and they are very different. You hear voices of anger. When you're angry with someone, have you noticed the words which come to your mind? About how to punish someone, how to crush them. That's a voice of anger. They are voices of condemnation, accusations which come in our mind. They are connected sometimes with parents who said negative things. But it's beyond that. The parents or the persons who were negative are no more there. Still, the words of accusations can be inside. Have you noticed that? Do you believe the devil can put bad thoughts in your mind? Who thinks that's possible? I believe. Do you believe God can put words and images in your mind? Could you raise the hand? Okay. Do you think the devil can do that every day? To put bad images or temptations? Raise the hand. Yeah. I believe he can do that every day. Now, do you believe the devil is more powerful than God, or the God is more powerful than the devil? God is up there. The devil has only one power, lies. His only power is lies. As long as we swallow the lies of the devil, he can mess up with us. He lies about our identity, about our capacities, and tries to introduce lies. Let's not focus on him, let's focus on God. But for that, we need to train ourselves and train others to be more in tune with what God says and to get rid of the voices which don't come from God. Does it make sense? You can reread all theology in terms of voices. What is sin? To sin means to listen to the voice of the devil and to do what he tells you, instead of listening to the voice of God and doing what he tells you. It's what happens in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve, I'm sorry guys, but Adam was with Eve when she sinned, so he could have spoken up, and he did not. So we were together. Men and women, we are together in cleverness and in stupidity, whether we like it or not. And what happens is, voices are the key. When Jesus is tempted during the 40 days, or at the end of the 40 days, it's also a voice inside him which tells him, make these stones become bread. And Jesus has to respond to this voice. It's very important to realize when there are things coming inside, we have to take action. We are not just going to passively let negative thoughts roam inside. If we do that, they will become part of our identity, of a messed up identity, and we will act upon it. We will need to let, if we let words of accusation roam inside of us, when someone says something we don't understand, we will be tempted to say it's an accusation, and we will be quick to be either angry or depressed. This has been prepared through the voices in our hearts. That's real. That's what even scientists work with in cognitive behavioral therapy and other ways to recognize we have words and voices going inside of us, images going inside. If we don't deal with them, our spiritual life will be a mess. We have this whole inner life. And this whole inner life, God wants to visit it to get rid of what is not good, to encourage what is good, so that we become in tune with the voice of God in our hearts, so that we learn to recognize the voice of Jesus, which is the voice of love. Will the Lord challenge us sometimes? Yes. But the love will be the foundation. The love will be the foundation. And it has to become an experience that we do, each of us. So, is it clear? Each of our senses, two elements, an external element, an inner element. Even for our actions, there is an inner element and an external element, which means our brain gives directions to our body, but our body does not always react. When you sleep and when you dream, you have a chemical in the brain which separates the commands to the muscles from the muscles. Did you know that? So that you have the impression you're running during your dream, but you're not running. Some scientists did an experiment. They took a cat, poor cat, and made him have the legs in floating, sleeping with something under his or her belly. And they disactivated they activated the chemicals which were blocking, they removed the chemicals blocking the movements. So when the cat was dreaming, they began to see him moving the legs like he was running. Because when we dream, we really give control, commands to our body to move for real. But there is this chemical blocking the movements. So Sometimes it can be frustrating because you have a nightmare, you want to act physically, but you wake up only in your dream. And you have to find a way to remove this chemical to move back to action, physical action. Have you noticed? For little boys, it's how to learn to go to the bathroom for real and not to go to the bathroom in the dream. Did you know you have to learn to do that? If you don't, you get into little troubles, and you learn you need to do that. It's very practical. I don't know for girls, I know for boys. My experience was, I needed to recognize when I have a dream I'm going to the bathroom, I better wake up.
Amen.
That's, amen? Yes. That's this chemical in the brain, which means you have inside of you an inner life, which is sometimes connected to the outer life, sometimes not connected. It's inside this inner life that you have to learn to listen to God. Because it's the way God speaks to you, inside. Different senses, we will speak of proprioception, strong impressions. Sometimes when God speaks to you, some of you, you will have the hair rising on your arms. Have you noticed? That can be one of the ways God speaks. When you have a vision, or when God speaks to you sometimes, it's one of the ways. I don't like to make it an absolute because it can be different reasons. But in some cases, that will be it. I had a friend in Conway who was explaining to him this phenomenon, and he said, "Oh, during the night of prayer, I think I had a vision. And I had my hair rising on my arms, and I felt something very strong." Who has ever had that kind of experience? Raise the hand. Yeah? The thing is, we need to introduce that in the trainings to help people to understand how God speaks to us with our bodies. It's what God uses. Our bodies are the tools God uses with our brains to communicate with us. How will we learn? We learn with the beam and controlling our environment. This one we learn to control. We make experiments where we are the masters. This one, we don't learn to be the masters. We learn to go with the flow of God's guidance. We learn to go with the flow, and we recognize a tree at its roots. Does it remind you some of the teachings of Jesus? You recognize a tree at its roots. That's non-controlling discernment. You have the controlling discernment, people who say, "How can I be sure?" I'm sorry, my friends, that's not the way God has designed you to be sure. He has created you for a relationship. He wants you to be wise, to observe the fruits of your actions. When a tree is good, the fruit is. When the tree is bad, the fruit is bad. Because a bad tree cannot produce good fruit, and a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Is it simple enough? This is a key tool for discernment. You don't discern before the fact. You discern through the action. You get an idea if it can be from God. If I sense Jesus telling me, "Give a word of encouragement to your wife," does it make sense according to scriptures? Yes. Does it make sense according to tradition that God can do that? Yes. Does it make sense? Reason? Yes. If I felt peace when God, I had the impression God says that to me, does it mean I'm sure, absolutely sure it's from God? No. But I can go for it. I have enough common sense to say, I have to try now. And I will check with reality if indeed God confirms through what I do that it's from Him. And Sandra could confirm to me, yes, it's encouraging. Sometimes I have the impression God asks me to pray for someone for healing, and sometimes the person are healed. Sometimes they are not healed. I would love to tell you I have the magical technique, but I don't. The truth is, learning is a process with God. And we will begin with exercises Does it make sense, this inner world and outer world for your senses? And that God uses this inner life? The paradox is we have the tendency in the Western modern world to focus only on the outside, saying the inside, this is private. We don't touch the private. Well, if we don't touch the private, we cannot train people for ministry. It's impossible. If we don't touch to the inside, we cannot train people for ministry. It's just an illusion. But to touch to the inside, there needs to be love, safety, and grace. People will not learn to listen to God, open up to what's happening inside, if they feel they are judged and condemned. We need to have grace toward each other and to learn together. So what we developed with Sandra is basically, after I saw the good fruits with Sandra, I realized, wow, it seems it could be that God is indeed speaking. So I began to do more what he told me. And I began to see very surprising results. One time I sensed the Lord telling me, you go to this church and you tell them that all the sorcerers stand up and you will pray for them before speaking. Because I, missionaries, you know, we are invited to Alabaster Sundays. Did you know that? So that's one where missionaries are invited to speak in churches. So I was in South Africa, invited to speak in a church for Alabaster Sunday. And when I went, the week before, the Lord told me, I had the impression, always, the risk of making a mistake. He wanted me to say, all the sorcerers stand up and I will pray for them. Do you think I like this one? I'm sorry, I did not like it. So I battled with God. Remember, to battle with God is okay. To shut down his voice is not okay. So I battled with God and I said, God, I'm not at ease. Would it be okay if I don't speak about it? Yeah, I do that sometimes. But I felt he did not blame me. So I said, okay. Could I ask the people suffering from sorcery to also stand up so that it's not as in the face as just the sorcerer? I sensed the Lord saying, okay, you can do that. So I found a deal. Make deals with God. It's way better than just shutting off his voice. But be honest, don't manipulate, discuss. And I said to Jesus, I'm struggling. And I said, would it be okay if I do that? And it's better to do one step in the right direction than just shutting off. And learn through the process. So I came to the church, Sandra was with me. She did not know about this stuff. So I come, before I start the message, I say, all through the first words, all the sorcerers and the ones suffering of the consequences of sorcery, please stand up. You know what? A third of the church stood up. Wow. More than 60 people.
Wow.
A Nazarene church. My wife was so shocked by what I said that she also stood up. That was a funny one. I'm also in sorcery. No. And at the end of the service, a young man came and he said to me, Stefan, I'm sure you came for me because two of my cousins have committed suicide and died recently. During the night, I had a sense of choking, like if a evil spirit is trying to kill me. And I said, okay, do you sense this oppression still now? I was praying at the end of the service. He says, yes. Let's pray together. And in the name of Jesus, no shouting here, okay? Please, don't shout. We have never impressed any evil spirit with shouting. And I'm not sure it would be very helpful, except to impress people. Peacefully, we prayed, Lord Jesus, in your name, we command to this impure spirit, which is trying to choke this person, to go away. He sounds like something going down his belly, physically, like a ball, he said to me. And we prayed for perhaps 1 minute, And then it went out. And then it was at peace. All this sense of oppression was gone. What happened especially to him? Was there a psychological element? Perhaps. What I do know is the result was good. I'm a scientist. We pray that in the name of Jesus the spirit goes out. There is a good result. Therefore, let's go for it. And I learned to pray for deliverances in this simple way. And he said, this young man, I always wanted to be a demon fighter. Then he said, calm down. Calm down. We don't fight the demons. We learn to be guided by the Spirit of God. And he teaches us. And we learn together as a community. And this young man began to study for ministry after that. And now he's in training for being a minister of the gospel. Is it simple enough? We could pray for people at the end of this service who were healed. I remember a lady, Anne, barely touched her feet to pray for her legs. She had fallen 2 times during the week because she was rather old and struggling. And she could sense God's love. She began to cry. And I asked her, what's happening? She said, I sense God touching my legs and removing the pain. So we led her to sit down. We did not want her to fall in that, but to just relax and thank God for what he was doing. We prayed for the wife of the worship minister. She had a headache. And let me tell you, listening to God is not an absolute technique you learn. So I had the impression God wanted me to. First I prayed for her headache. It did not go away. I had the impression, listen to my word, I had the impression that her husband needed to pray. So I asked her husband, would you pray for your wife? He prayed for her, then the headache was gone. And we have seen always more miracles, healings, deliverances, and very simply, what the Lord began to tell me in my heart, teach people to listen to me. Teach people to listen to me. And I began to do it in my foolishness, because you have to be aware I'm pretty foolish. A fool, because I don't know a lot about this domain. But God wants us to learn to listen to him. If we learn together, then we can move forward. It's not to have a superhero who is impressing others with spiritual words. It's for the community of believers to learn to listen together, to do God's will, so that we recognize how he speaks to us, how he calls us, and through this process, his name is glorified. So, God stretches, I have to tell you, he likes to stretch people, because love always stretches us. He began to tell me in my heart, teach people to listen to me, so I went to a district assembly in Madagascar. In this district assembly, at first assembly, I said, I'm the FSC, so I can decide, kind of, we have a teaching after the district assembly. In Africa, we don't have the regional director and general superintendent coming to our district assemblies in general. We are phase one districts or phase two, so I'm the only authority there in general. And when we had the time, the afternoon, I said, let's have a time to learn to listen to God together. My methods are not perfect. I have to promise to you, it's very imperfect, okay? So don't be surprised, because there is no perfect method to learn to listen to God. But just by the fact of practicing together, learning together, God, who is perfect, teaches each of us to go further. In this district assembly, the district superintendent said to me, Stefan, when we prayed together, I had the impression Jesus is telling me he is healing my legs from diabetes. He had such a bad diabetes that he had cramps every night in the legs. Have you ever had cramps during the night in the legs? Do you like it? You know the remaining pain, so that you remember the cramp even hours after it came? We're like, shh, not fun. So he had that every night. So he said, Jesus told me, he heals me from my leg. Remember, I'm a scientist, so I said, let's thank the Lord. Still, in a few days, please send me an email to tell me what's going on, how it is going. Because if Jesus says something, I'm expecting that reality will be impacted. Amen. It's not, don't do the, oh, you have to walk by faith, even if you don't see anything, please, don't be stupid. If God says something, expect things to change. It's not being unfaithful to God, it's just to be a practical person. So I said, please email me, we thank the Lord, we trust Him, but we still expect to see. It's the yada walk. We walk with faith, we trust the Lord, but our faith expects results. So the next 2 days I come back to Reunion Island, and during the night I have a huge cramp in the leg. Huge cramp in the leg during the night. I never had that before. I realize it's so painful, I need to go out of the bed if I don't want to wake up Sandra. So I crawl out of the bed, and I remember my friend who was that every night. I begin to have compassion for him. I begin to pray for him, for his leg. As soon as I pray for him, the cramp goes completely away. No more pain in my leg. Not even remaining pain. You know that when you have a cramp, even when it's gone, the knot in the muscle is still sore for quite a while. I had nothing. Then 4 days later, he emails me, Stefan, the pain in the leg has completely gone. No more pains. Every day, it's a DS in Madagascar, Richard Ravelo Manansoa. And he said, every day with my wife and the three daughters, we try to listen to what God says to us and we share together. I was thinking, yes, that's what it's about, to learn together as community. And you will notice that when you learn with others, you learn much better because you can learn from the mistakes of others. Because, let me be honest, we will make mistakes. If you have a baby, is Chase here?
Yes.
Yes, Chase. Your youngest, what's his name?
Lucas.
If when Lucas begins to walk, first he walks on the floor, okay? One day he puts his hand on something and begins to be on his two legs. In about a year, let's say. I hope it's not earlier because the legs are not ready yet. He begins to do a few steps and oh, he falls. Will you tell your boy, you stupid Lucas, don't you know that trying to walk is painful? Stop walking, crawl on your floor. It's dangerous to walk. You will fall, and it's painful to fall. I don't want you to fall. Is it a good idea? Why?
Because you want him to walk.
You want him to walk? When I speak of listening to God, I have some people who tell me, you know, I had someone who said something like, God told me you're supposed to be my wife, and clearly it was stupid. And some ladies had some people trying to play this trick on you. Sometimes young men try that kind of tricks. They're almost convinced. They're almost convinced themselves. It can be the case in some situations, but in some situations it can be a trick. Well, you know what? That people mistake God's voice or say things which are not from God is normal and will happen. It's part of the deal. It's like falling. When you learn to listen to God, you will make mistakes. Do you prefer to fall on a carpet, if possible, a thick one? Or do you prefer to fall on rocks? Who prefer to fall on rocks? Sharp rocks. As I mentioned earlier, the sharp rocks, it's pride. The more you fall with humility, you do things with humility, the less painful it will be. Humility means you will learn to listen to God as a community. Be willing to listen to people challenging you in your listening to God, but learning together. Here you're pretty safe. And when you fall, it will not be very painful. And my hope is that Lucas will learn to walk on a good, thick carpet so that when he falls the first time, it's not painful. And as you learn to walk, you see the results. And for us, with Sandra, we began to sense the Lord guiding us to accompany people. We did not focus on deliverance or healing. We focused on accompanying people to be sensitive to God's voice. And through this process, we saw people delivered, people healed in many places, even people who are considered very intellectual. In Cape Verde, we had a lady who was considered to be Minister of Agriculture. And in Africa, we could teach in quite a few places. In Cape Verde, the lady was considered, asked to be Minister for the government when we had the training session on listening to God. And she sensed the Lord telling her, no, I don't want you to say yes. So she refused this position. And then we could pray later for her. She had a headache for a long time, which was very painful. We prayed a very simple prayer, and the headache was gone. We saw her 2 months later in South Africa, and she said, could you tell me what are the precise words you use for the prayer? Why? Because we tend to think there is a magical power to specific words. And I said to her, my sister, I'm sorry, but that was very simple words. And she began to pray the same prayer with her kid. And she said, when I pray for him, I see him sometimes healed. That's what prayer is about, to pray and to see results. Very simply. And we began to see that about everywhere we go. And it's not only in South Africa or in Africa. In the German district, we had one person who had pain in the neck, who prayed and the pain was gone. We were in Glasgow 1 week ago, and I loved it because I was with a lady sitting. She explained that she had big pains, I think it was in the back. She went in the aisle, and a young man prayed for her, and her pain was gone. Simple. It's not about a man of God. Often you have been trained to think, okay, you need to have a gift of healing. Focus on gifts. Oh, who has the gift of healing among you? I don't like that approach, because it focuses on a person. What I like to do is just focus on Jesus. I'm sure he has the gift of healing. I'm pretty safe on this one. So, if he tells you to pray for someone for healing, you have good chances the person will be touched. If not, you learn it. You don't, and when I pray with people, I hope during the week, if some of you have pains, we will be able to practice together, learning together. That will be part of the learning. And we see, sometimes we pray with Sandra and the person is not healed. And then they say, but it's okay, it will go better later. It's like if they have to reassure me because of my failure. It's not my failure, I'm not trying to accomplish anything except to listen to God's voice and to do His will. Even if it looks foolish sometimes, because it's part of the deal. And as you learn to do that, it's fun because life becomes an adventure. Every day becomes an adventure. I remember one time I was in a supermarket, and in the supermarket, Sandra is on our side, I go to buy my lunch. It was still in Réunion Island, and you know the French, we like pastries, we like food. Let's make it simple. So I go, in case you don't know, and I go to the place, and when I go inside the supermarket, I see a lady begging. And I go a little bit away. I know I'm a missionary, I'm scared, but I go a little bit away because I don't want to look at her. And when I'm inside, I buy, they have an action, a cheap price, for 2 millefeuilles, 2 good pastries instead of 1. So I buy the 2 for my lunch meal. Ooh, nice. When I come to the cashier desk, I pay, and then I think, okay, I should avoid walking in front of the lady, you know?
The begging lady.
The begging lady. So I plan to move aside, but I sense in my heart it's not exactly what Jesus would like. Then you battle. You know these battles? Then I stop and I say, okay, what do you want, Jesus? That's the key part. And I close my eyes and I have the impression. Remember, no 3D picture, perfect things. I had the impression Jesus was going to the lady, giving one of my 2 cakes, and sitting with the lady. Ah! I did not like it. And then I began to battle inside. This battle is okay. It's when you don't do this battle that it's a problem. When you shut down the voice of God saying, and I turn back to be the master. When you battle, you're still learning to let God guide you. When you stop battling in general, it's when you have shifted back to the being controlling knowledge, the one where you're alone, and where joy is not part of your journey. So in my battle, at one point I said, okay, Jesus, I do it. I did not do it with spiritual emotions, joy, no. I just did it because I felt that's what God wants me to do. And it seems in agreement with Scripture. Do you think it seems in agreement with Scripture, this one? Yeah. So I went, hello, madam, would you like to have one of my toothpastries? And she said, yes. And I gave her one of the toothpastries. I sat down as Jesus did, and we discussed. I prayed with her, and I was gone. I did not try to make her swallow my short version of the gospel. I just did what I sensed Jesus wanted me to do. Do you hear me? We are full of big ideas about what God wants. We have to make people swallow biblical verses. It can work in some places in the US. Have you noticed in Europe it doesn't work very well? Have you observed that? Remember, obeying God is not about a set method with always the same technique. These techniques are designed to convince the brain, not to convert the heart. If you try to convince, evangelism explosion is one example, logically to convince the person, you're still working with this thought. Evangelism is about making people encounter God, being touched by God. And then they will be willing to go further. But for that, we have to let God encounter us and guide us to do what He wants, not the idea of what we think God will be happy with, you know? And evangelism becomes sharing the good news of God, of His love in this world. So sometimes I end up praying in government offices for healing for people. Would you like to do that? One time I was in the government office in South Africa with for the criminal records. Not really a spiritual place, but the place where you want to stay very long. And there are a lot of people. Some persons are seated, and I see, I'm with the finance coordinator discussing, and I see a lady sitting, she has a crutch on the side, and she's rubbing her knee. So I sense in my heart Jesus saying, go pray for her. Now a little comment. If you don't spend time in prayer to learn to dialogue with God every day, do not be surprised that you don't recognize the voice of Jesus during your day, because you are so used to let other voices crowd you that you don't recognize His voice every day. The truth is, He wants to speak with you every day, but you have to get rid of the other voices first. As you get rid of the other voices, you learn to tune in Jesus' voice as His sheep. You begin to see very interesting things. It stretches you. But it's so encouraging to see God can use you to bless people. So in this case, what do you think was my first response? Yuppie, I will want to go. No. First, I did not like it. I battled. I said, no, I'm not at ease. It's a government office. Do you really want me to go there? And I sense a really yes. I said, okay, I'm ready to be a fool. That's a key part, to be ready to be a fool. Remember, you have to become like children, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's about letting God lead you and simply do things which are simple. So I went to the lady, hello madam, I'm a Christian, I see you have pain in your knee. And I cried, she said, oh yes. May I pray for your knee, madam? And she says, Yes, I said, I'm Christian. She said, oh, I'm Catholic. There, I have to be very cautious. I did not say, oh, you are Catholic. What a curse, madame. I will need to tell you how. No. I said, it's great. May I pray for your knee? Remember, I do what I sense Jesus asking me to do. I don't do what I think I should do. As long as it's in agreement with Scripture, with God's love, etc. So I kneel, I pray for her knee, very simply, in your name, Jesus, we pray, we command the pain to go away. It's one of the ways I pray. And then, remember my scientific background. Madam, if the pain was 10 at the beginning of the prayer, where is it now, between 10 and 0? No response. The lady got to sleep during the prayer. So my experimental element was not very strong on this one. So an Hebrew gives her an elbow kick, and the lady wakes up and I say, hello, madame. Then I simplify my experimental testing. I say, how are you doing? She says, oh, the pain is completely gone. I don't sense anything.
That's how she fell asleep.
It could be that it helped her to fall asleep and to relax. Here, what I do know is she said the pain is gone. And then I said, well, it seems Jesus loves you very much because I sense he wanted me to pray for you. That's the message. Jesus loves you, and I did what he asked me because he loves you. It's not about me. It's not about tricking people. It's about manifesting God's love at a practical level. And then she goes to take her paper while I'm still waiting, and she comes back and stops in front of me, and she moves leg back and forth. And she said, oh, it's very good. It's completely gone. I said, it's wonderful. I did not say, oh, by the way, here is the address of the church where you should go if you want to read, hear the real gospel. No. If I sense the Lord wanted me to do that, I will. But the key part is to learn to listen to God and not to try to be God instead of God. God is a big boy. He's able to evangelize people. He's the one who converts hearts. But he wants us to play our part in his plan of love. The question is, are we ready to play our part in every day, every moment? If we do, we see very interesting stuff. And God is so happy to use us when he realizes we stop trying to play God in front of people. It's a very important point. Especially when you are in Europe and you try evangelism techniques. Who among you has been frustrated by using your evangelism technique? Yep, I have. And when I was studying in US evangelism, I dropped my evangelism focus after one semester because I realized it's not adapted to my context in Europe. Because we are in very different contexts. I believe God speaks today, and he is able to guide you, to bless people, to bring them to the Lord, to him, if you play your part. You remember the supporting character or the big hero? We have tried to be the big heroes, converting hearts. We are not very good at that. But if we play our part, God does his part. So what we will do is we will take a break now, I think. What time is it? At what time are we supposed to? 3:45? So we can do more 20 minutes, and we do exercises after. I still have a moment after, Tiana, to do more.
At 3:45 we have a break, and then at 4:15 we can go again.
Okay.
So if you want to give a break now and then come back, or it's up to you.
Let's stay now, and let's begin to describe simple steps about listening to God. Let's go. Yes, Dave.
Well, I would like us to pray now for my wife. Mm-hmm. She woke up this morning with chest pains.
Okay.
And so she did go to the doctor and found out it was probably muscle, but she had chest pains plus tingling in her arm. And so I just want to pray for her.
Not fun. Shall we practice? And then, as a scientist, what will I ask from you?
Call my wife.
You call your wife and you say, we have prayed for you. How are you doing? I'm sorry. We learn with feedback. And does it mean Your wife will be healed? Perhaps yes, perhaps not. But what I do know is, if we don't get feedback, we don't learn. That's the way God has created us. And He wants to encourage us humbly. One story before we do that. One time I was in a supermarket in South Africa. I see a blind man. A blind man.
And, oh, what an opportunity.
Wow! And inside the store, I sense the Lord telling me, Stefan, pray for this blind man. So I go, there is a girl close to the blind man. I pray with faith, with Lord, I command this pain or remove the things in front of the eyes so that he can see. Then I ask him, any change? No, no change. I go to my car and I feel the Lord telling me, you have not prayed exactly how I wanted you to pray. How do you want me? Okay, so I go back and I pray a second time. This time the guy thinks I'm a little weird. He was happy the first time, the second, he thinks, what is this guy? So I pray, the girl is not very happy, I can see on the face of the person, what is he doing? I pray again. Nothing. Then I go away, and in my heart I said, Jesus, I feel like a fool. You said to me to pray for this man, and he's not healed. And then I sense Jesus telling me in my heart, Stefan, I did not tell you you would heal him. I said I wanted you to pray for him. You know that we sometimes make mistakes? Sometimes we pray on things that don't happen the way. We always are in the learning mode. But the key thing is to pray for blessing others and to learn to let God bless. And I will pray now for Dave's wife, and we will say, I'll ask you tonight to call her to see if there is a change, okay? So I will say, what is the name of your
Mary Beth.
Mary Beth. So I will pray, but I will ask you, you can pray silently or vocally. Let's pray for Mary Beth, that the pain in her arm, the tingling goes away, and that she can experience healing today. Could we do that?
Lord Jesus, we pray.
In our foolishness, in our humble situation, you love that we pray for each other. In your name, Jesus, we pray for Mary Beth. We pray. We command these pains to go away. We invite your spirit to visit her right now. Bless our sister, Jesus. Surprise us with your love. Surprise her.
Father God, you are a loving God. You love your people, you love your children. Father, I do pray a healing hand, your healing hand, would be placed upon her. And you would touch her arm and take tingle out and touch her chest and whatever the problem is, whether it's a muscle or whatever may be going on, Father, that you would just rest upon her now. You would heal her with your touch. Praise and glory. We thank you for who you are. In your wondrous name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Let us take the break right now. And when shall we meet again, Tiana? How much time shall we take?
Can we come back at 10 till 4?
10 to 4.
Okay.
Back for the session. Is it okay? Great.